What had actually happened in the battle wasn't clear until well into the next day, when the captain made an announcement to the crew.
We came out of jump to find a couple of mutineers. The Admiral expected that, so we had everything hot. They were mining the jump point, but we blew through the first cordon with no damage, and all enemy ships are destroyed. We're credited with half a kill.
Baron wondered how they knew the other ships were mutineers. If they had stopped to ask questions, the battle might have been more even and far more dangerous for him. The battle group would stay in system long enough to pick up the loose mines, then mine the jump point with its own, programmed to accept the changed fleet IDs, which the mutineers shouldn't have. Brunmeager stroked the length of the pool and splashed water on the woman lounging beside it.
Ow! Kate, come on in! You're being lazy!
The water's cold! I get a cramp.
The Lone Star Confederation Ranger had changed into a swimsuit, but had a toweling robe around her shoulders. Her datapad and comm unit were beside her, as well as one of her many weapons. This one, a black matte needler.
You'd get exercise. Your whole planet can't be warm.
Kate grinned, but shook her head. Brun rolled over and swam down the pool again. The water wasn't cold. The water was just right, as long as she kept moving. On her way back, she saw Kate was sitting up, talking into a comm unit. Brun ignored her and flipped into a turn for another lap. She needed to work off tension anyway. Soon, in a day or so anyway, she would have to do something about her mother, and she had no idea what. She stretched, reveling in the feel of her body's strength and agility. The flow of cool water past her shoulders, her hips, her legs. As she came back down the pool, this time in sidestroke, she saw Kevil Mahoney come out of the house. He walked better now, without any aids, but unevenly. A rejuve might help that. He couldn't afford it, not until they straightened out his financial problems. But she could provide it. Brun made a mental note to talk to the family medical advisors about it as she rolled into a crawl and powered off the last 15 meters, hoisting herself at the end with a rush of water.
Huh. Breakfast out here.
Then she blinked the water out of her eyes and saw their expressions.
What now?
Hobart's dead.
What?
Hobart Consuline is dead. At the hands of a visiting fencing master, if you can believe that.
Brun grabbed a towel from the stack and scrubbed her head with it. She dropped that one, grabbed another to wrap around her shoulders.
When did this happen?
Yesterday afternoon.
And we're only finding out now?
His sept put a lock on the news to locate all the Barraclough chairholders before it was announced.
His sept? I see.
Brun reached out to the table already set for breakfast and touched its pad.
Staff, change of plans. We'll be eating inside in the library. I'll be going into the city as soon as I've dressed and eaten.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
I'm sure it's necessary.
Brun looked at Kevil. He said nothing. He wouldn't, outside, in an unsecured field. But his expression ended any doubts she might have had. It still felt strange to her, this sense of mastery that had come during her first Grand Council meeting after her father's death. It felt strange to walk into Appledale as if she owned it, even though she did. Strange to feel no guilt about leaving wet footprints on the Isai carpets as she hurried upstairs. Brun stopped in front of the guard on station in the entry hall, an innovation of Kate's that she now recognized as necessary.
I'll need a secure comm link to Buttons.
Upstairs, in the room she had always occupied, she toweled off and stood a moment scowling at her wardrobe. Pregnancy had changed her body enough that many of her old clothes didn't fit. Dark mourning made her look sick. She needed to look healthy and competent. Finally, she chose a tailored suit in steel gray and tucked a blue-patterned scarf into the neckline. When she came down, Kevil and Kate were in the library, already loading their plates from a serving table. Kate had changed from the red swimsuit into one of her less flamboyant Lone Star suits, this one pale blue. Her high-heeled fringed boots were beside her chair. Her stockinged feet looked absurd in the deep carpet. Kate waved at the room.
It's clean.
Brun checked the scans and fields herself anyway and saw Kate nod approvingly.
So a fencing master went bonkers and killed Hobart. What else?
His sept claims it's a conspiracy. By the Barraclough's. By you, in fact.
What? in retaliation for my father's murder.
Kevil prodded at a sausage.
Except that they don't admit having him killed. I'm not supposed to eat these things.
Oh, live dangerously.
I did. That's what got me in this mess.
But he forked up a bite of the sausage.
Since I know I didn't hire any fencing masters to cut Hobart's head off.
Brun noticed that the others weren't moving.
What?
That's how it was done. Decapitation.
Brun looked at them, one after the other.
You're serious? His head? Oh, and so he had his head cut off, and I mentioned it, and so now you think...
No, I don't think that. It's not your style, hiring someone else. But there's another complication.
Which is?
Your mother.
Oh, be reasonable, Kevil. She's off on Cerealis. She can't have come back here to behead Hobart.
No, but she is Bunny's widow, and the evidence we unearthed about your uncle's dealings with the Consulines might be construed as giving her a motive. The very fact that she's off on Cerealis could be considered suspicious.
Not Mother. She feels deeply, of course, and if we had caught Dad's killer, she might have slapped his face. But I can't see her conniving an assassination.
Nor can I, exactly. And yet, your mother's a lot more complicated than you know, Brun. Back when we were young, she and my wife were close friends, and I heard more about the young Miranda than most.
Still, if she was going to have anyone killed, I'd bet on Uncle Hollis for the designated victim.
Don't joke, Brun. Right now, for the sake of the Sept, you must hope your uncle stays healthy.
Brun scooped marmalade onto a slice of toast.
For all of me he can, now that we've got his sticky fingers off Dad's estate. Or at least put a kink in that.
Brun gave Kevil a questioning look.
Kink, certainly. I'm afraid Hobart's murder, unless the motives become clear, will weaken your case. When you talk to Buttons, be sure to tell him to be especially alert for unexplained movement in the holdings of peripheral companies, will you?
Of course. Where's George? I can give him a ride into the city.
Kevil nodded at a crumb-covered plate.
He left an hour ago.
Your secure link to Lord Felix, m'lady.
The security tech gestured from the doorway. Brun rose and then closed herself into the family's comm booth, entered her personal codes, and touched the screen with the data wand that confirmed both her ID and her codes.